Yeah, oh. It's not a school, is there? Look, Audrey's playing again, so I don't know what's going on. Good morning! Good morning! You know, in these comedy things, we have a big stick and you have to sort of poke people and say, right, okay, we're off. We're going to do that one of these days. I think it's biblical, I'm not sure. But there you go. Welcome this morning. It's great to have you with us this morning as we worship God and as we celebrate who He is and what He's done for us. Now, what we're going to do is, we've been talking, haven't we, about having faith in God. That as we move forward with God, we got to trust Him. And trust all depends on us actually believing who God is and how wonderful and amazing He is and what He's done for us. And once we get that and believe that so that we trust Him, then trust becomes much easier. It all depends on the one in whom you trust, doesn't it? So we're going to remind ourselves of who we trust. And churches have always done this, they call a creed. A creed is a set of beliefs, a set of statements that we make together that say, we believe this. We trust in this, and we're going to say some together. But this is a bit like an aerobics exercise, because this one's got action. So do you want to stand with me? And I'll run through it with you. Click on one, Anthony. Keep going. Here we go. Now, this is a creed with action, so I want to see the actions. Here we go. Let's try it out just quickly. We believe in God, the Father, Almighty. Don't poke anybody's eye out now. Here we go. Who sent... Now, Jesus, this is the sign language for Jesus, which is worth knowing. So it's Jesus, like the holes in His hands. Jesus. Got that? Jesus into the world. This is going to get violent, isn't it? Well, never mind. Keep going. Came as a baby. Ah, there you go. Born of the Holy Spirit. Was crucified. Died. And was, now you could sit down at this point, sort of huddle up, okay? And was buried. You got that? That's great. All those with bad knees, you're exempt. Was buried. On the third day, stay seated. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. Now you have to stand up. Here we go. He ascended into heaven, where He prays for us continually. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah is in bold and capital, so I want to hear that. Okay, so we're going to do it again. Here we go. From the beginning, Anthony. Oh, they said. We thought that was it. No. Okay. Right back again. Back two more. There you go. Great. Let's say these words together. God has made us a people.
We have been shaped by God's will.
The Spirit binds us together. Here we go. You ready? Here we go. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, who sent Jesus into the world. He came as a baby, born of the Holy Spirit, was crucified, died, and was buried. There you go. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. Up you come. He ascended into heaven, where He prays for us continually. Praise the Lord. Nice and loud. Hallelujah. Nicely done. Let's worship Him, shall we? Let's worship Him together. God the Father, maker of the universe, and in Christ His Son, our Saviour, come to us by virgin birth. We to save us bore our sins, was crucified. Then from death he rose victorious. Father, Son, Jesus, Lord of all, Lord of all, Jesus, Lord of all, Lord of all, Jesus, Lord of all. Now he will come again in glory, judge the living and the dead. Every knee shall bow before him, then must every tongue confess. Jesus, Lord of all. Lord of all, Jesus, Lord of all, Lord of all, Jesus, Lord of all, Lord of all, Jesus, Lord of all, Lord of all. Say to a God who is like that, who does those things for you, say hallelujah. You say hosanna to God in the highest. Let's say that together. You can clap, by the way, if you're feeling up to it. Here we go. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with our hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God. Hosanna in the highest. To the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with our hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God. Glory to the King of Kings. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Father, we want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you that we have a hope that is steadfast and certain, that we can approach the throne with confidence and with boldness, that we have a hope that is not pie in the sky when you die. It is meat on your plate while you wait. And we thank you, Jesus. that you are here for us today as well as tomorrow. We thank you for the hope that we have and for all that you've done for us. We believe because you are so wonderful and amazing and huge and glorious. And we believe these things about you, therefore we trust you. We trust you. We do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, there is another little creed I want to show you this morning, and this is a slightly more contemporary creed. So, yeah, take a seat. You might need a break. There you go. I'm exhausted after all that exercise. Bless you. Okay, here's another little creed, and this one is a sort of contemporary way of saying all of these wonderful things. So we're going to work through it, and let's say the first one together, then I'll do the second one, then you do the third one. Okay, so each screen we'll do alternate, but we'll start off together. Look at the screen with me. If Anthony can just click through, that would be great. Let's say this together. I believe in God, the beloved, gracious and merciful, yearning for our redemption and abounding in steadfast love for us. Let me read the next one to you. Eternal in time, active in history, the Holy One is beyond what I can imagine or understand, yet ever available and always present. Over to you. Next one. Here we go. In abundant joy and generosity, God created all of this beautiful universe. I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, wisdom's own child, born into our world. In his life and teachings, the fullness of life is revealed. Although he was persecuted, tortured, and unjustly condemned, from the cross he spoke words of forgiveness. Jesus was crucified, died and was buried, but on the third day, his followers found the tomb empty and their lives full. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Sophia wisdom, enlivener and encourager of God's people, the light for our path, the guide of our spirit. On Pentecost, those who gathered found themselves aflame with the Holy Spirit. I pray that I shall also be inspired and enlivened in my faith, so that my life will be a reflection of the radiant love of God. I believe that I am called to grow in grace and truth, to seek, to ask, to knock. And I believe that the door to heavenly joy and understanding shall be opened to those who seek sincerely. I believe that in the holy, eternal body of Christ, the community of those who follow him throughout all time, I believe in the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting. All these things I believe. And though at times I may doubt, my soul knows these things are true. We know these things are true, and we know that God is able, and God is here, and God is real. Let's stand as we sing, shall we? Son of God. I believe he died and rose again. I believe he paid for us all. And I believe that he's here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to grace
to forgive. I believe in you, Lord. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. I believe you paid for us all. And I believe that you're here now. Standing in our midst. Here with the power to heal now. And the grace to forgive. I believe in you, Lord. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. I believe you paid for us all. And I believe that you're here now. Standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive.
Amen. As part of our worship, we're going to take up our offering right now, and as we do, we're going to sing, Jesus shall take the highest honor. Please feel free to sit or stand, whichever is appropriate, but let's take up our offering as we sing. Jesus shall take the highest honor. Jesus shall take the highest praise. Let all earth join heaven in exalting the name which is above all other names. Let's bow the knee in humble adoration, for at his name every knee shall bow. Let every tongue confess he is Christ, God's only Son. Sovereign Lord, we give you glory now. For all honor and blessing and power belongs to you, belongs to you. All honor and blessing and power belongs to you, belongs to you, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus shall take the highest honor. Jesus shall take the highest praise. Let all earth join heaven in exalting the name which is above all other names. Let's bow the knee in humble adoration, for at his name every knee must bow. Let every tongue confess he is Christ, God's only Son. Sovereign Lord, we give you glory now. And power belongs to you, belongs to you. All honor and blessing and power belongs to you, belongs to you, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for all that you are. And because we know you stand here among us, that we can trust you. When you say something, we know it's true. When you challenge us, we know you speak out of love for us and for life in us. When you encourage us, you're not just currying favor. You want us to grow and to stand tall and to be all that you meant us to be. We want to thank you that we can trust you. And Lord, as we trust you with what we have, we give you this offering and we offer it back to you, knowing that everything still in our bank account and in our wallets belongs to you too. And as stewards, we commit to using that for your glory and for your honor throughout the weeks ahead. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, some news for the fellowship. The good news is Isabella Speroni. Oh, nice name, eh? Isabella Speroni was born Thursday, 1 a.m. Bit of an unearthly hour of the day. 1 a.m. at 6¼ pounds. Shall we give the Lord a round of applause for his creative genius? Julian might have had something to do with it, but the Lord ultimately is responsible for life, and we praise him for it. Tonight we've got, I don't know if there's anything on the screen, we've got a few things going on. We've got a little leaflet here. Tonight there is a SEBA celebration. Over 150 churches are gathering from across our region to hear God's word, to worship. The full-time worship leader of Guildford is down at that event, and he's leading worship. And also Steve Gorkroger, who is an international speaker, will be there preaching to this gathered family, our local family of Baptist believers, over 150 churches down there in Tunbridge. I'm taking the car, leaving about half four-ish. If you want to come, if you still want to come, tickets for £5 are on the door, but if you still want to come, do let me know, and I'll be going down there, and any seats that are available, you're welcome too. So come along tonight if you can. That'll be a really good event to meet with brothers and sisters. Alpha's going on. Alpha started last week. That doesn't mean you've missed it. If you missed week one and you're still debating and think, oh, I wish I'd have gone, or I wish I'd have invited my friend, you can still get them there. Just missing week one's all right. We've still got 8 to go. So come along if you like shepherd's pie. We had brilliant shepherd's pie from Chris on Wednesday. And if you like chatting and talking and debating, and we had a great time on Wednesday night, please come along, Alpha. Harvest. We got Harvest coming up next week. Be aware we're going to take an offering with envelopes next week. So come prepared, really, to give a special gift, particularly to a church planting initiative out in India. And we're going to be hearing all about that in the time of Harvest next week. So come along next week. And we do have a little fundraisers going on. Our kids are already fundraising for this so that we can give a gift. And Alex just wants to mention that. Excellent. Oh, really? Sort of table service. They're going chair service. Fantastic. So there you go. Meals on Wheels. Small cakes, big donations. Off you go. There you go. Challenge for you today to support mission across the world. We got baptism on the 16th of November. We got a Christmas extravaganza coming up at the end of November. We hope you're getting ready for that. If you want to get involved with that, just talk to myself or to anybody who's organising that. I can point you in the right direction. Pastorally, let's remember Rob and Norma in the Philippines particularly. Rob has discharged himself from hospital, but he's not taking any more chemotherapy. They're with Norma's family, which is wonderful, so they're back home with Norma's family, but they do need your prayers, particularly with a house that is not finished. The house that they wanted to move into is not finished. Pray that at least they'll have some time in that home together. Noreen's here today. She was hoping to have an operation last week, weren't you, Noreen? And guess what? It's either a miraculous recovery or you haven't had it. So we reckon it's you haven't had it so far. So pray for Noreen that happens, that she gets over her shingles quick so she can have that op. Pray for Wendy Jarvis, who is in Charlwood Ward over in East Surrey Hospital. pray for her. She's having diagnosis on her kidneys at the moment. She's incredibly distended. She's really uncomfortable. Pray for Wendy as well. Any other folks we need to pray for that I haven't mentioned? We're going to be praying a little bit later, but anybody else? You all right? Okay. I'm going to hand over to Andy, who's going to talk to us as a family. So here we go, Andy.
Okay. Right, so this weekend I've been working on my artistic skills and have created a really awesome picture. Who'd like to see my picture that I've done? Excellent, good, right. Now, I'm really pleased with this picture, so hopefully you'll like it. I'm so pleased I've tied it up really carefully. It wasn't quite the plan. Right. I'm going to hold it up so that everyone can see. I've done a picture of my house in the background. And I've done some mountains. Now, it's a... No, it's not, no.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. What do you mean? Okay, I might need some people to help me. Who can help me hold up this picture?
Me.
Here we go. Might need some tall people.
Okay.
Perfect. Is that awesome? Right, now, so I've drawn... the house. So, what's wrong with the house?
It's like so sound.
Is it?
And it's
wrong. What? What's wrong? No. It's not.
It is.
Is that not right?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, but surely. Well, but surely. No, I must have done. I've done the tree or a cave, isn't it? The tree's looking right. It's green.
It's upside down.
It's got some branches. No?
No, it's upside down.
Oh, no.
No,
there's no odd things in there.
There's a person on the slide.
No, that's me walking down the path. Is that... Oh, no. Okay, well, what about... But surely the sun's okay, because the sun's nice and yellow.
Well, it's tuned grass.
Oh, no, but the grass is growing nicely, so that's why I put it down.
But it's
going to
sell
twice. Oh, no, we don't want that. Well, what about the well, the birds? I've got the birds right because look, they're up in the sky.
They're sideways.
They're sideways. Have they done that? Well, some oh, surely some do. Oh, I'm gonna have to work hard at this arty stuff.
It looks more like a massive bird.
It is a massive. That was my plan actually. That one you got right. So what's wrong with this picture? Is it the right way round or is it upside down or? Okay, what if we turn it upside down? Is it any better upside down? I mean, it can't be any better, surely. Is that any better?
You're about to fall off the cliff.
So guys, this picture's a bit... Yeah, this picture's all a bit messed up, isn't it, really? Yeah. So, thinking of things that sort of get messed up, what happens... Do we ever fight with our friends? Resounding. Or what about... Who hasn't shared with their brother or sister recently? Oh, there's a few arms there. And what about... Do you think, as adults, do you think adults get along all the time? Or do we sometimes get cross with each other as well as adults?
We sometimes get cross with each other.
We don't want examples. Let's just... You're going to karate mode. Okay. But so guys, so in the Bible, who knows what God says that we should be doing to one another? We shouldn't be fighting, should we? Because when we fight, it's all... And if we say bad things, you get hurt, yeah. And sometimes we say the wrong thing, don't we? We say things that aren't very nice and a bit ugly, isn't it? No? But in the Bible, it says that God says that we should love one another, shouldn't we, really? Yeah. And so what happens when we say something bad to one of our friends or to our family? What do you think? Do you think God's happy with that or is he a bit upset? He's a bit upset, isn't he? Yeah, so God just wants us to kind of say sorry to him and to not be so mean and ugly to other people. So shall we just say a quick prayer now just to ask God for help? Okay, so we close our eyes and we're going to say, Father God, when we make mistakes in our lives, please forgive us and help us to love and forgive others. Help us to do better. Thank you for your kindness and patience. Amen.
I think it will. I would hang on to that, because if you've ever seen a Picasso, that's sort of what it's like. And they're worth millions. So hang on to that. That's going to be worth a lot in a few years' time. It's the Andy Wills School of Art, it'll be. It'll be good. Excellent. Yes. He's taking on lessons. Okay, excellent. Now, kids, you're heading off to your groups. It's still part of the church, but you're going to listen to your teachers. We thank you for all of our Sunday school kids and teachers who work here. Bless you. Have a wonderful time. And as they head off, maybe you'd like to say hello to somebody, left or right or front or back. You know, just welcome somebody as the kids head off to their groups. Have a great time. See you soon. Don't eat all the cakes out there. Yeah. Right, we're going to pray before we come to God's word. And as we pray, we're going to remember just that, you know, if you're going to move forward with God, it involves a huge amount of trust. And I wonder how much we trust in God's word when real circumstances are happening in our lives. How much do we trust in his promises to us? How much do we believe that they're true and that they will be proved true when we look back in, oh, I don't know, a week, a month, a year's time? In the midst of our circumstances in our lives. So let's pray, shall we? And let's pray with an eye to God's promises and trusting him for those. Let's pray. Father, we want to pray this morning, and we pray for different sorts of people who have different sorts of needs. We want to pray for those who are seeking this morning. We pray for our Alpha course, that Lord, through the service of your people, the ministry of your children, folks may learn more about you, discover you, maybe a little bit more, or discover you for the first time, that those who seek you will find you. We pray for those needing guidance, seeking guidance at work or at home or at college because of jobs or circumstances or family issues and needing to know what the right, the wise thing to do. Lord, for all those who are seeking, for the 153 churches of Southeast Baptist Association, as they gather tonight to seek your face in worship and to seek you through your word. May all of us trust in your promise in Jeremiah 29. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. We pray, Father, today for all those needing justice or needing peace. We pray especially for the family of murdered aid worker Alan Henning. His memorial service that will be happening later on this day. We pray for the nations, for Iraq, the Ukraine, for Israel, for Gaza, for the delegates who will be meeting this week at a conference to discuss aid to Gaza and the rebuilding of a devastated city. May each find your words in Psalm 97 to be true. He will judge the world with justice and rule the nations with fairness. The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed and a refuge in times of trouble. And Father, for all those who are waiting, for Rob and Norma, as they wait for their home to be finished in the Philippines, for Pauline, as she waits for recovery of speech and mobility after her stroke, for Noreen, as she waits for her hip operation, Wendy, as she waits for the results of those tests on her kidneys, and for the Reverend Tom Pelham of Ashford Baptist Church, as he waits for chemotherapy treatment for cancer discovered in the last week. May they trust your promise, Isaiah 40, which says, but those who trust in the Lord, who wait on the Lord, will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not be faint. So Lord, help us as your people, as we seek your vision, as we move forward together as brothers and sisters, as we support and encourage each other in you. Help us to do it because we trust you. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Let's trust his word, shall we? And let's do that by reading it together and then unpacking it together. As Martin comes in a minute, let me read to you from Joshua chapter 2 as we talk about moving forward, moving on with God, having the courage and the faith to claim the promises of God, just as the people of Israel did on the banks of the Jordan. Chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2, and starting at verse 1, and let me read this to you. Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia Grove. He instructed them, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. So the two men set out, and they came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. But someone told the king of Jericho, some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. The king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spy out the whole land. Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them. Actually, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax that she had laid out. So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossing of the Jordan River. And as soon as the king's men had left, the gates of Jericho were shut. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up onto the roof to talk with them. I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We're all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. For we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Let's pray as Martin comes to lead us in God's word. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Help us to trust in it. Help us to trust through the example of your people thousands of years ago, to know that you are the same God today and the same God tomorrow. Help us to trust you as we, your people, walk ahead with you. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
As I share some stuff with you this morning, I'd like you to be thinking. And I want you to really be thinking about, where does what I have to say, or what you're going to hear in a minute, where does that fit in? Or rather, perhaps, where do you fit in? And where does this church fit into the story of what the spies who are visiting Jericho experience? And if we consider our position as a church, Gosden Baptist Church, having recently heard and kind of honed that vision of knowing, growing and going, if we're stepping out into this vision, if we're now at a point where we're saying, this is what we believe God's calling us to do, how are we going to do it? What are we going to expect? Have a think about what you hear now, because I'm actually going to ask you to share in a minute some of the things you might have heard from this sermon. Now, that's an unusual thing, I think, for most people to do. People aren't used to that idea. Yeah, normally, the preacher stands up, he preaches his sermon, and hopes and prays that you all have heard something from God, and then usually, we're none the wiser as to whether or not you have. Okay, very often. I'm not doing this as an experiment to see how successful I've been. Okay? I'm doing this because I think actually we've talked a lot about how the gathered church meets together to discern the mind of Christ as one. And actually, what would be really helpful, I'm not going to say yes or no, I'm just going to ask you to say, if you think you've heard something of importance or relevance, or there's an important note or something that struck a chord with you today, and you're happy to share that with the church, could you just put your hand up and we'll hear what you have to say, and I'll say thank you very much. I'm not going to say right, wrong, that wasn't what I meant, how did you get that out of that sermon? I'm just going to say thank you very much for sharing. So as I talk, have a think and listen for God. Will you do that for me? Thank you. Why is it? Why is it that you breathe loudest when you're trying not to breathe? It must be something about being so aware of what you're trying not to do that the relevance and importance of what you're actually doing seems to amplify every sound you make tenfold. And stuck here, on this roof, under the flax, and I'm trying not to breathe. Under the flax, two long lines leaning against each other like a long, low, triangular tunnel tent. And my breathing sounds to me as loud as the waves washing on the shore of the Dead Sea. And as I lie here, I wonder if this is it. Is this the end of the invasion of the promised land? Will Jericho, the great city of Canaan, prove to be our undoing? Have we been stopped before we've begun? I thought we'd done all the hard work already, all the preparations, all the journeying, all the wandering in the desert. Finally, we're here. Surely it's just a case of marching in. Isn't God going to do all the work now we've got to where we're going? We know on the map where to go. Isn't God going to make all the paths smooth? If the Jericho soldiers find us here beneath the flax, we will die, surely. And that's at least one path that doesn't seem so smooth after all. And I'm waiting. Waiting for the soldiers to pass. Pray they don't come up here on the roof. My heart in my mouth. My palms sweaty. And the flax smells a bit like a candle. And the thin stalks are oily but super tough. Lying on my side, my lips are almost touching it, and I'm worried I'm going to graze my mouth against it. It's uncomfortable to be jammed up against, and yet move my lips I must, move them in silent prayer. We need you now, O Lord of angel armies. Have you now forsaken us when we needed you most? Or have we made some foolish mistake? Where have we gone wrong? Didn't we have a good plan? Didn't we check out the lie of the land? Our leader said, see how strongly defended it was. We thought we'd make real plans for the future, for where we were going with God. I remember, less than a day ago, standing at the bottom of the city wall, seeing it for the first time in all its glory. You know, it's not usual, you know. There's only one city in Canaan that has walls all the way round, and that's Jericho. How could they afford such defences? It makes it a real stronghold. And that's the thing, you see. Whoever controls Jericho controls the region. So we need to take it, and take it soon. It's not going to be easy, though. There's a ditch at the foot of the first restraining wall, and that restraining wall isn't vertical, but it's too steep to climb. And then, on top of that, is the main vertical wall, and that goes up a further 8 foot above it. Oh, and standing there at the foot in the ditch, it seems insurmountable. How are we ever going to get through or over that wall? What in our strength can we do to take hold of the promised land? And yet, if God truly has forsaken us at this moment, maybe it is down to us. But then, even now, today even, there have been signs. Signs that God is still with us. I mean, the very fact that we're here under the flax and alive at this moment indicates God is still with us. Yet, he seems to be working in a strange way, through some strange people. I mean, a common whore. Can anything good ever come out of someone like her? Why would God work through her? Even these Canaanites must have holy people of some sort. Surely that's where God will work. And yet there she was, pushing us up the stairs, getting us under the flax, ready to risk her own life for us too. We came here for information. You never know what secrets are heard and what secrets are told on a pillow. But we didn't come here expecting to get help in this way. Maybe God is working through her, or with her, or on her. And I wonder, if that is what's happening now, what right do we have to take this city? God won't want us to forsake this woman, not when she's helped us. And yet what can we do? We can barely take her with us as we leave now, if we make it out of here alive. It'd be hard enough for the two of us experienced spies to get out of the city without being noticed now that they know we're here. And having to take a civilian with us, that'd be madness. Suicide. And yet, if we leave her here, she will surely die as we take Jericho. So, as I continue with the futile task of silencing my breath, I cannot help but wonder, what will Joshua say when it becomes apparent that his spies have been captured? It's almost rule number one of spying that. Don't get caught. He'll be cross, that's for sure. Yet, I think there is some good news. I mean, the walls are a problem. But the people in the city, well, they don't seem strong like you might expect. No, it's like the walls have spoiled them, stopped them from learning how to think or act for themselves. As if the walls they built could be the only thing that can save them from others. To stay inside seems the safest thing to them, and yet once the threat comes, and it has, they won't know what to do. So stuck they are with being inside their walled city. Those soldiers who have come to find us, they would kill us now out of a fearful desperation, out of an unbelief that we are here inside their city. I can hear them downstairs now. They're not a disciplined platoon. They're ramshackle and careless. They're not carefully carrying out considered orders, but they're scared and they're panicked. We stand a good chance of making it out alive, or at least out of this house at any rate. The city's another matter. We're going to need some help getting out of the wall. That's for sure. Of course, once the spies have come out from under the flax, they make that bargain with Rahab, their lives for her life and the lives of her family. They do all of that because the people of Jericho have heard of the God of Israel, the God who parts the sea, the God who defeats those who stand in their way. A wall, as we know now in hindsight, will be of little consequence to Israel. And even the people of Jericho are beginning to think and feel that. Of course, they're right. Once God starts to work in the life of a church in its community, the community starts to hear about it. The difference, in our situation in Godstone at least, is that rather than ending with our communities becoming fearful of us, like the people of Jericho did, our communities become interested. They want to become closer to us. So for us, it's important not to be striking fear into our communities, not to be divisive, and not to show hate, but to seek to bring together. Now, you might say, well, of course we're not going to do that. Of course we're not going to be divisive in our communities. Of course we're not going to spread hate. But actually, sometimes we have to think really carefully about what we're saying about the way people work together, about... I guess sometimes boundaries that we might put up for people that we don't always often see. The way that we welcome people at the door, the way that we seek to involve people both in the life of the church and without. So for us, it's important not to be being divisive, but really considering how we can seek to encourage that sense of wanting to draw closer. So as I wrap that up, I just want to remind you of several things that spy said. I want you to think of these, as I said, in relation to our position as a church pursuing a vision. How are we going to be knowing, growing and going? What should you be expecting? So here's three things the spy said. I thought we'd done all the hard work already, all the preparations, all the journeying, all the wandering in the desert. Finally, we're here. Surely it's just a case of marching in. Isn't God going to do all the work now that we've got to where we're going? Okay, that was the first one. The second one. A common whore Can anything good ever come out of someone like her? Why would God work through her? Even these Canaanites must have holy people of some sort. Surely that's where he works. It's like the walls have spoiled this. This is the third one. It's like the walls have spoiled them, stopped them from learning how to think or act for themselves, as if the walls they built could be the only thing that can save them from others. To stay inside seems the safest thing to them. Yet once the threat comes, and it has, they won't know what to do, so stuck they are with being inside their walled city. Okay, I'm just going to take some time to pray and just give you a moment or two to think and listen. Lord God, as we've heard your word read from the Bible this morning, Lord, I've sought to faithfully shed some light on that passage. But Lord, it's not down to me to speak into the hearts of people. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, please will you use your Holy Spirit now to help to bring to mind to people the things that you want them to hear. Lord, will you speak into the lives of the church here? Lord, corporately as well as individually, together as well as for each of us. Lord, will you help us to hear the still small voice, the little niggle, the gut feeling, the yearning that you're placing within us. And Lord, if it's something that you want us to share with the church, Lord, will you give us the confidence to say what we think we've heard from you? Amen. I'm just going to leave a little bit more silence for you just to think a little more. As I said before, there's no right or wrongs. How God speaks to you is quite often not how anybody he's spoken to anybody else, I think. Some people will disagree with that. But if you think God's said, or I'd be really interested if there's something that's come out of what you've heard today that you think you'd like to share with the rest of the church. Perhaps it is about Godston Baptist Church. Perhaps it's about something more unique to you that you are comfortable sharing. That would be fine as well. And there's no right or wrongs. No one's going to come back to you, or at least not within the context of the service. And I'm not going to come and say, how did you get that? Or anything like that. This is just an open opportunity. If you think God said something that you'd like to share, I'd really encourage you just to pop your hand up and share something with us. Roger. Yep.
To save a day. So it doesn't matter how naughty, wicked or bad you may have been to be, you can be part of his plan.
Thank you, Roger. Okay, you're going to have to tell me.
Microphone.
Oh, use the microphone. Right.
I was trying to do it subtly.
Yeah, it was a good... yeah, that would be great. That would be brilliant. Thanks. Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Roger. Anybody else with anything else? Okay.
I'll bring a mic so you can be heard by everybody.
God can be found in the most
unusual
places.
Can anyone hear that? Shall I say it again? God can be found in the most unusual places.
Thank you. Thanks, Monica.
That's right. I work in a hospice, and on my... Is that all right? You can hear me.
Brilliant, yeah. Thanks.
Sorry. I work in a hospice, and on my desk is a book, A Little Bit of Heaven for the Few. And that actually refers to how hospices were really only for a few people. And in Tunbridge Wells, that's particularly the case, that it's the white middle class. Heaven is for everybody. And that prostitute was in God's plans.
Thanks, Joe. Liz had her hand up a moment ago.
Do I take it?
Yes, please. Thanks, Liz.
The spies were worried by things that were distracting and bothering them, like the smell of the things and the poking of the flax into them. And we can be worried and distracted by small things, but actually these were the very things that God was using to hide them and to keep them safe.
Thank you, Liz.
Perhaps on a slightly more challenging note, though, the people of Jericho wanted to know where their spies were, and they wanted to go and weed them out because they represented the people of God. Challenging thing for us is that while everywhere we don't want to be divisive, and certainly in the complex I live in, I try my best to get on really well with all my neighbors, some of which are quite pesky people. But the fact remains that the cross of Christ always causes offense. And sometimes when we stand out for God, people don't like it.
Thank you.
It's funny when you talk about meeting the prostitute and expecting. I suspect when they went into that land and they expected to, that some people would side with the Israelites. The last person they expected would be her. And we were on a train last night coming back from London. We spent the afternoon in London, and this guy sidles up. He was the only person to talk to us in the train carriage. It was me, Claudia, Sam and Hannah. And this guy was patently gay. I know he was gay because he sidled up. He'd had a few drinks. And he said, he opened his bag and says, "What do you think of these? These are lovely, aren't they?" And he was going to a party in Purley. And he had some bright pink 6-inch platform heels in there. You ought to have seen Hannah and Sam's face. They really didn't know how to respond to this. But let me tell you, the weird thing is we got chatting with this guy. He was, you know, he'd had a few drinks. You know, his sexuality might not be something we believe God's ideal for us is, but you know what? Out of all the people in that train carriage, he would probably be the most likely to listen to you about Jesus. He was wanted to talk. He was very complimentary about my wife and said he thought I was a lot older than she was, which was really annoying. So I nearly hit him. No, but he was generous and open and chatty, and it wasn't just the drink. I suspect that's his personality. And I reckon, when we go forward with God, we're going to meet people who we don't expect will be responding like that and want to engage with us and be open and generous with us. And they might not be people like me and you. And that's okay, because they're the people God is working with. And God loves them like he loved everybody else in that train carriage, and he's reaching out, and possibly, highly likely, they're more open to hear about Jesus than safe middle class well-to-do people who don't feel they need anything. I think he was more open than anybody in that carriage, and it was great talking to him, and I really liked him. He's a great guy. So expect to meet people that might not be like us, and expect when they turn up to accept them as they are, not as you want them to be, and to journey with them as God reveals himself to them step by step, and as God works in their lives to support that and encourage that. That's our job.
Thanks, Phil. OK, Okay, thank you very much for engaging in that way at that point. That was really, really beneficial, I think, I hope, for all of you. Well, we're going to stand to sing our final hymn as we sing Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, and we sing of the God who does guide, who has guided the spies to Jericho, who is guiding us on our vision and in our walk, in our communities, as we seek to follow him. Let's stand and sing together.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Help me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Feed me now and evermore. Open thou the crystal fountain whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee, give to thee.
Let's end with the words of the grace together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Do remember, cakes are on sale. Small cakes, big donations. I like that. Thank you.